This is Mitchell Dye with Mitchell's Front Page on 94.7 The Pulse.
And with me on the line now is Sarah Henderson, the member for Corangamite. Sarah, good morning.
Mitchell, good morning to you on this beautiful first day of spring.
Yes, it is very good, isn't it? Thank you so much for joining us once again. And
My pleasure.
We'd like to talk about the local economy, as we've been doing with all of our federal members and candidates over the last couple of weeks. How do you think we're going?
Well, I actually think that we are doing fairly well when you consider there are some challenges. What we have seen across Australia in the last month is 38,000 new jobs across Australia, compared with 3,600 jobs being created in the last year of the Labor government. So we're creating jobs at 10 times the rate of Labor in its last year, 335,000 new jobs. But really significantly, Mitch, in the Geelong region, we're actually now have a unemployment rate of 6%, which is less than the Victorian average and, of course, the national average. So despite the challenges that we are facing in the economy with the closure of companies like Ford Manufacturing and Alcoa, we are seeing a lot of very positive jobs growth in our region and an unemployment rate in Corangamite of only 5.2%. So there's a lot of very positive signs, of course, helped by the many investments that we are making. Most recently, you might have heard, Mitch, a new advanced manufacturing growth centre for Geelong, which is going to be an enormous boost for the next wave of manufacturing jobs for our region.
And also an issue you wanted to cover today is the Torquay Aquatic Centre. Tell us about that.
Well, I've actually just been down to Torquay, and there's a wonderful local campaign going on. It's called Put Your Bathers Out. And if you drive into Torquay on the corner of Grossmans Road and Surf Coast Highway, you will see literally a couple of hundred pairs of bathers and towels and shorts. It's a really important project, Mitch, one that unfortunately the Surf Coast Shire is not supporting, including unfortunately the Corangamite candidate, Labor candidate Libby Coker. I'm really very supportive of a new Surf Coast Aquatic Centre, but unfortunately the council has come up with a funding model which imposes effectively a pool tax on every ratepayer in Surf Coast, including places like Winchelsea and Lawn where there is already a pool. Frankly, that's not good enough. This is a growing town and a growing region. Places like Ocean Grove have their own aquatic centre. It's a very important project for the community, vital community infrastructure, and it's very unfortunate that the council hasn't sought the funding that we do have available. So there is a very significant fund, the National Stronger Regions Fund, which provides funding of up to $10 million for large infrastructure projects. So a real disappointment, but there's a great community groundswell of support, Mitch, and it's wonderful to be part of it.
Now, moving on to the China Free Trade Agreement, and obviously there are economic benefits to us of having this China Free Trade Agreement in place, but obviously the union movement has come out raising questions about it. Are you satisfied that the China Free Trade Agreement as it stands now dots all the I's and crosses all the T's when it comes to making sure that Australian jobs are secure?
Well, absolutely, Mitch. And what we've seen from Libby Coker and the CFMEU working hand in glove is a terrible campaign, a campaign against small businesses, against farmers, against our exporters. The China Free Trade Agreement alone will create something like 178,000 jobs over the next 20 years. The Meat and Livestock Association is estimating an $11 billion boost to the meat and livestock industry. This is also vital for dairy, vital for exporters, as I mentioned, and we are seeing a xenophobic, highly irresponsible campaign against this, one of the perhaps the most important generators of new jobs that we've seen in many years. So this is a real test for Bill Shorten's leadership. We are seeing a very reckless campaign where the likes of people like Libby Coker are just really, operating as a union puppet, because this is all being run by the likes of the CFMEU, and it is very, very disappointing. This is an incredibly important agreement along with the free trade agreements with Korea and Japan. We need these agreements for jobs and for growth and for opportunity, and so I call on Labor members and candidates to follow the lead of people like Bob Hawke, Bob Carr and now Jay Weatherill, all of whom, great Labor figures, have come out in support of these free trade agreements.
And you're confident, based on what you've seen, that it makes sure that Australian jobs are protected. So essentially, based on what you've seen, you're saying that the union claims have been baseless.
Absolutely. I mean, under the free trade agreement, the unions are running a campaign saying that our jobs will be exported. That's absolute rubbish. We will make sure, and under the agreement, Australian jobs come first, and it's only where there is genuine labour shortages consistent with the current 457 visa regime that overseas workers will be permitted a visa. So there will be no undermining of wages and conditions. There will be no undermining of the basis on which our, you know, very important 457 visa system works. Australian jobs come first, and that's absolutely imperative. And that's why, Mitch, we are seeing predictions of growth of something like 178,000 jobs under the China Free Trade Agreement over the next 20 years. This is incredibly important, particularly for our region. We're a very strong agricultural region, and you know, we just cannot throw this opportunity away. We are starting to look like a bit of a laughing stock with the actions of Labor, which are highly irresponsible. It's all about campaigning against our government. And what we are seeing from Labor is an opposition that does not care about jobs, doesn't care about making households better off, doesn't care about growth or opportunity, and they really need to start acting responsibly so that these important agreements can be finalised.
Now, I've been talking a fair bit about the environment on this program because it seems to be one of the big issues that's going to come up at the election. I know that you've been a proponent of a renewable energy target. What are your thoughts on the Labor policy of having a 50% renewable energy target by 2030? Do you think, as you support a renewable energy target, that that's going to be viable?
Well, I'm a very strong, passionate supporter of the environment, Mitch, and I've got a very strong track record. I was one of the very strong advocates for a renewable energy target. We've just rolled out a Surf Coast Solar Towns program, delivering solar to community organisations. That's a $300,000 program. Of course, I'm running a campaign to have the Geelong Star banned, which I'm very opposed to. I'm also, unlike Labor, and we're seeing a lot of hedging at the moment, very opposed to unconventional gas exploration in Corangamite. I was a very strong advocate for cleaner air for Anglesey as a result of the very high sulphur dioxide emissions coming from our coal-fired power plant, and you know, a very big proponent for solar. In relation to the 50% renewable energy target, Mitch, that is just pie in the sky. That would lead, and the unions have already come out and said this, it would lead to many thousands of jobs being lost, a huge impost on the economy. It's just not practical. I mean, Labor are now backing away from this because they realise they've done no modelling, they've done no work. So what we've tried to do by putting in place our emissions reduction target of 26% to 28% and a renewable energy target which is sensible in measured is strike the right balance. We're just seeing pie-in-the-sky aspirations from Labor with no work behind it and no regard for jobs. And let's face it, Mitch, it's all about jobs. You know, but let me just remind everyone and your listeners that I've also been a very strong advocate for the Clean Energy Finance Corporation's expansion of their investment mandate to include wind and also small-scale solar. So I've been a very strong voice for renewable energy, and of course some great work being done by our Green Army right across Corangamite and right across the nation. Many thousands of young people joining together to work on practical environmental projects, and we're seeing some great impacts already in Corangamite.
What do you think is a practical renewable energy target to have by 2030 if 50% is too high?
Well, they're seeking. We've stuck our, you know, emissions reduction target, which we're taking to Paris, which is a reduction of 26% to 28% on 2005 levels by 2030. That's pretty much consistent with many other countries around the world. It's a strong, credible, and responsible contribution to climate action. It will, of course, still impose a cost on the economy, but we think that cost is worth it. Of course, at the moment, we're looking at a 5% reduction. So this is a very, very significant boost in our emissions reduction target. But what we're seeing from Labor, they're just making it up on the run. They're not doing the work. They're not doing the modelling. And most importantly, I mean, it's so ridiculous, Mitch, that the unions have actually come out and said to Labor, you need to set up an agency which will subsidise the wages of every union job that's being lost as a result of the emissions reduction target that they've talked about. So it is an embarrassment for Labor, combined, of course, with the carbon tax that they are promising to bring back if they do win the next election. Now, unfortunately, we've seen that is a job-destroying tax. We've seen the impost of the TAD on manufacturing, on our farmers, particularly our dairy farmers. It costs manufacturing every year about $1.1 billion. So, unfortunately, we are seeing the likes of Libby Coker, Bill Shorten, Richard Marles making it up on the run, not doing their homework, and not taking a responsible and measured position when it comes to balancing our environmental needs with our need to create jobs.
Now, on the issue of same-sex marriage, do you support same-sex marriage, and also are you a fan of having a plebiscite where the people can decide either at the next election or after?
Well, I think what we've done, and I do support same-sex marriage, but I think what we've done as a government is come up with a way forward which embraces the views of every Australian. What we have determined to do is hold either a plebiscite or a referendum after the next election. Now, this is a very important issue. It's an issue where good men and women have very different views for very different reasons. I personally support a very, very strong position when it comes to protecting religious freedoms also, Mitch. But what we have decided to do, and I think this has been supported by the polls, where 78% people support this way forward, is put forward a very positive pathway where every Australian gets a chance to have their say. What we've seen from Labor, of course, is no policy. They don't have a policy. They've only given their members a conscience vote. So voting for Labor does not guarantee an outcome one way or the other. And in fact, unlike our party, if you don't support the policy of the party, you get expelled from the Labor Party. So we think that this is an important enough issue that every Australian has a chance to have their say, and that's what we will be committing to, and that's what we will be delivering.
And if you're a supporter, if there happened to be some sort of vote in the Parliament between now and the next election, would you consider crossing the floor?
Well, the Prime Minister and our government has made clear that there will be no bill that will come before the Parliament in this term of government. So our policy will continue of supporting traditional marriage. But very importantly, after a long debate in the party room, Mitch, we've determined to take this to the Australian people, to give the Australian people a chance to have their say. And that's our policy, and that, I think, is a very, very positive way forward. And it has been welcomed by many people in our community.
And last of all, you wanted to just briefly discuss the NBN rollout today. What's happening with the NBN rollout?
Well, we've got some fantastic news. The NBN rollout continues right across Corangamite. Something like 37,500 premises are now going to be connected in the 18-month rollout right across the Golden Plains, Surf Coast, some parts of Geelong in places like Armstrong Creek have already been connected. But we are rapidly rolling out the NBN, which is fantastic news, across the Ballarine. Pre-construction work has begun in places like Torquay, in Point Lonsdale and in Bowen Heads. And what we are seeing after 6 years of basically nothing happening under Labor, particularly in this region, not one existing premise received the NBN after some 6 years under a Labor government, we are seeing a rapid rollout. So across the Colac-Otway region, in fact, we've already very, very close to some fixed wireless towers being connected. And importantly, Mitch, what we've done is we've given country communities that priority also. So places that never thought they would be considered by Labor are being made a priority by our government. Corarook, Barangarook, Beach Forest, lots of little towns, Colac, Illiminite, all around that area are being put on the rollout. So we have got a challenge in Geelong, and I'm working very closely with the Communications Minister, because I know for the people of Grovedale, Warren Ponds, Belmont Heights and Wandana Heights and Marshall. There are some big challenges. I'm banging the table in Canberra, Mitch. I'm determined that we will see the rollout very quickly in the Geelong region as well. But we are making fantastic progress, and I'm really delighted to see that.
And your government supports mixed technology, so this rollout has been predominantly fibre to the node, has it?
It has. So in some housing estates, of course, it's fibre to the premise. Predominantly, it's fibre to the node. In some of the smaller communities, it's fibre by way of fixed wireless. Mm. But when you think about places like Birragulla, completely left off the map, with both mobile phone connections and also, NBN. So we are now listening to those communities and we are delivering. So the fibre to the node actually delivers incredibly fast speeds of up to 100 megabits download. Even the fixed wireless now, Mitch, when we first rolled out our policy, it was 25 megs download. The NBN Co are now trialling download speeds of up to 50 megs. So we are seeing a rapid improvement in the technology, super fast speeds, and it is very, very exciting.
Fantastic. Thanks so much for joining us this morning, Sarah. Really, really appreciate it.
Mitch, as always, it's great to speak to you. Have a great day.
Thank you very much, Sarah Henderson there, the federal member for Corangamite.
Mitchell's Front Page with Mitchell Dye. Mondays and Tuesdays from 9 till 11 on 94.7 The Pulse.